sleeping.
We're back when you least expect
us. I'm serious.
Do you think the dog that you just found on the side of the road just died, just now died?
I'll show you a video. I mean, it's right here. It's serious. Does he look alive to you? I guess you can't see him.
I cannot see him.
I think he might just be sleeping.
That's like the Nate Bargatze stand up about the horse on the side of the road.
Oh, so good.
They're so good. So good. I told you that's one of the things that COVID has taken from me is that Jen and I had front row seats to see Nate Bargatze in Wilmington in March. And not happening.
COVID. No. COVID. Strikes again.
That, because I do have white people problems. So that and not being able to see Rage Against the Machine in concert with Run the Jewels this year are the two things that it's taken from me the worst. Those are the
Rage
two.
Against the Machine?
They were going to go on tour this year. They were like,
Why would you go?
Rage Against the Machine. Oh no. Why would I go? Why would you not go? Why would you say that? Why would you break my heart like this? I don't think we can continue this podcast.
Regardless of if they're on tour or not.
Dude,
Rage. You like when you're going with like your Kurt Cobain shirt, but you're like, oh, this
no, dude.
Not
Nirvana. No.
Were you a mosh pitter?
No, although I did one time sprain my neck headbanging to Lenny Kravitz. Does that count?
That was my first concert, okay. Lenny Kravitz.
So, all right. So, high school. Let's put yourselves back in high school time. Mm-hmm. You know, late '90s, early 2000s. I'm guessing for Chris, early 2000s. Yep.
Millennial.
What were you listening to? What was your
Nelly?
Yeah,
Nelly was like freshman sophomore year of college.
DMX. Yeah, I will say in the locker room, Rage was always part of the list, but it was followed up with a lot of really hardcore rap. So yeah. Rage was definitely in there.
See, I was like Beastie Boys, 311, Rage Against the Machine. Like that was
had an older brother though, right?
But only a year older, and we did not talk.
You have an older brother. Sorry.
I still have an older brother. Yeah.
But I'm just saying like sometimes like Angelique, like she, you know, she has older siblings. Her brother is 6 years older. And so like, I feel like she grew up in a whole different era. Like she's like, oh yeah. Breakfast at Tiffany's is like my favorite movie. I'm like, I never like 16 Candles. I'm
no.
like, I never even like,
no,
knew that movie.
None
like,
of that.
Why would I know that movie?
Well, also yeah. you had a brother. You didn't have a sister.
Oh, right. I guess that's a good
so, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like Jen's favorite movie in history is like Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I have no interest in ever watching it ever. So,
you know, that was filmed really close to Virginia Tech.
Dude, yeah, it could be filmed.
That's a great segue.
It could be filmed. Yeah. It could be filmed in Blacksburg and I wouldn't watch it.
How long can we go on a Virginia Tech podcast without saying Virginia Tech?
This is
that's the
most loosely Virginia Tech podcast in the history of Virginia Tech podcasts. So, Chris, before we jumped on here, we were talking about have any of us ever gotten in the mascot suit under the influence of alcohol?
That's right.
And nope. And so for people who don't know us and don't understand even the title of our podcast, but if you don't know us, the three of us were all mascots in college. John and I were Hokie Birds. Chris was Petey the Pirate. Is Petey the Pirate?
Petey the Pirate. You got
Petey
it.
Petey the Pirate at ECU.
That's correct.
Before wisely transferring up and out to Blacksburg.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, yes. So Chris, did you ever have a drink and get in the suit?
I did not. I absolutely did not. Friends thought I always was, but I was not.
And I never did either. But mine was like just fear of dehydration. Like I was just way too scared. Well, first of all, I'm a total lightweight anyway. I'm the biggest lightweight, you know, so it wouldn't take me
I was
much.
More just fear of losing my job. Like, I love doing it, so I didn't want to jump with that.
Well, John and I did it with two guys that were not afraid of losing their jobs and did it. I think there were two types of people, right? I think there were the people who were, like, naturally extroverted anyway, and they would get, you know, they would put the suit on and just do what they would do without the suit on. And you didn't really need alcohol to like, to, you know, to perform.
Yeah. I was almost the opposite of that, where I'm introverted, but I put the suit on and I become an extrovert because no one can see me.
Even without alcohol.
That's right.
See, that just blows up my whole theory. I thought if you were like introverted, you would need it. You know, I don't know. Cause I just went around doing the exact same things I would do, except I would talk a lot more, obviously, and tell a lot more jokes. But
see, I saw it as such an advantage. I didn't have to talk to anybody. So it's like, oh, you can't talk when you're in the suit. I'm like, yes, this is great.
Did you do the thing where like, if people told you to smile for a picture that you, like you actually smiled inside the suit?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. And then feel so mad at yourself. Like I would get so mad at myself. Like so dumb. Like what am I doing in here? Like a smart person. They can not see my actual smile.
I mean, it's like now I take a picture with a mask on and I'm smiling, but I got a mask.
Oh, in your COVID mask?
Yeah.
In your Vance Vice COVID mask or whatever, whoever you chose.
That's right. But I'm still smiling underneath it.
Yeah, man. I guess I was the same way, but like the things that I did differently in the suit that I wouldn't do, you know, like one time I jumped off of the wall in Lane Stadium that separates like the front row from the field level. And that wall is taller than you think it is. It's like 8 feet or something. And when I landed and like my knees went up into my chest, I was like, ooh, let's not do that ever again. And it was like, do you put that like, cause there's a rock climbing helmet on the inside of the suit and you think like, I'm invincible. I got this. And if I did it now, if I did it now, my knees would just explode into however many parts make up a knee, they would just explode. They would look like Dak Prescott's ankle.
Yeah, don't talk about that. Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-mm. One thing I would never do that I did in the suit was while the pep band was playing, I went and nudged slash kicked the drummer off of the drum set, the trap set seat, and started playing the drums. Like, I would never kick that guy off. Not in a mascot outfit.
You would just be polite the whole time. There's no way you would.
I would probably never walk over to the pep band. Let's be real.
I don't think I ever did anything like that. Like where I just, the thing most like that I did was there was a sideline reporter, Bonnie, I think somebody. And you know, the Hokie Birds, like your job is to flirt with the girls, you know? So at least back then it was, back in the simpler times where we weren't as sophisticated as we are now. And like, I grabbed her face to like give her a fake kiss, not thinking about the fact that she's wearing like HD makeup for TV. She was mortified. She like screamed, no, push me away. It was not a good look for the Hokie Bird. The other thing I did that I didn't do in real life at the West Virginia game,
wow.
I tried to get the TV cameraman's attention. So I was like banging on the table but the stand that the guy was on. And he got mad at me and pushed me away. So then, dude, I went over to all our fans that were in the same corner. And I was like, basically I pantomimed like, boo this man. They started heckling the cameraman for the rest of the game. And then later he apologized to me. Like in hindsight, like I don't know why it popped in my head like 10 years ago. I was like, oh my God, I ruined that guy's day. Like totally, just because he wouldn't pay attention to me while I was in the
Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
Man.
Hey, sorry, the owner of the dog just picked it up. So
oh nice.
Sad moment there.
Was it alive?
It was fully alive, and his name's Chewy.
His name's what?
Chewy. And, oh, man, the kids are going to be so sad when they find out we don't have a dog anymore. They were so excited. Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
Now they went to sleep like.
Yeah, you'll be getting them a dog.
They're like, we're getting the dog. We got a dog. And now it's picked up by the owner. So. Oh, yeah, when they wake up. Well, you know what I'll probably do is just say he ran away, and then that'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, they definitely won't cry if you tell them that. No way. You should probably just tell them that his parents found him
Okay. All right. I guess I'll do that.
I don't know why I'm giving you parenting advice. I was like, the state disqualified me from having kids, and yet you're taking parenting advice from me.
I'm like, well, sounds like a good idea.
In Delaware, there's like a checklist. They're like, were you at any point your college's mascot? And if you say yes, then they're like, scribble a bunch of stuff. And then you get a report that's like, no kids for you.
No. Yeah. The owner seemed really happy though. And he brought his daughter. So I don't think it was a scam because they seemed pretty happy, but hopefully that dog just didn't go home.
He definitely knew a dog's people. Name. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
I will say the whole time that they were like, I was kind of just like watching it, and I'm like, does this dog really know you guys? Because it's also it was a really expensive dog. You could tell it was a gold doodle. So I was kind of like, I don't know if he actually knows you guys, but I'll take your word for it. So
the dog didn't seem
overly excited to see them.
Man, you should have made him prove it with a picture. Like, come on, show me a picture of you with the dog.
At any point, did you check to see if the little girl knew the dad?
That's awesome. Oh, Ashley did connect with it.
Pretty elaborate dog napping schemes before, and this feels like one to me.
That he brought a fake daughter to get a fake dog. That makes sense. Totally.
To the extreme.
Yeah, you got to go. John, if he had showed up, no daughter in tow, would you have automatically trusted him that it was his dog the way you did? Probably not, right?
Probably not. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, what a turn of events that was. I thought for a minute he was dead, and then all of a sudden the owner show up. And, I mean, at least he wasn't dead, I guess. So.
And now you're dead because you have to go buy a dog tonight that matches like when a goldfish dies.
Oh, that's a good point. Tonight, go buy a golden doodle that's 8 years old.
Yeah.
That's good. And well trained.
And try to get it to answer to Chewy.
That's awesome. All right. Sorry. Fantastic. Where were we? I digress.
Both of our listeners right now are just like, what is happening?
What is happening?
So, John.
Yes.
If you were to put on the Hokey Bird suit right now, we were talking a little bit about while you were dealing with someone else's dog, we were talking about, you know, kind of like experiences in the suit and everything. I think people don't realize also like just how physically taxing being the mascot is. Like, how long do you think you would survive? Like, I mean, literally survive. How long could you stay in there without dying now, you know, 15 years after you did it?
Oh, it's such a good point. I mean, you know, it's so I guess it depends on the severity of like, what's the exercise that you're doing? Cause I will say one of the most draining things in my life. I mean, we've done triathlons together, guys. Like I ran a marathon. I don't know if I've ever had anything as taxing as running from the tunnel to the 50-yard line in the Hokey Bird suit, like ever. Like, I mean, that is truly that moment. I always, even to this day, like I watch the Hokey Bird when he runs out, and then I see what they do after they hit that 50-yard line, because you're just dead. I mean, it's like you say, bolt, like you're just like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I'm done. So, yeah. I want to just lay down.
No way, man. I don't think you could get.
I wouldn't do that now.
I don't think you can get to the end of the band at this point. You know, like you just die.
Yeah, that's a good point. Chris, was Petey the Pirate as hot as that? Like, were you gassed, you know, kind of just running around?
No, the pirate was like a really light costume. It was one of those where you're like, wow, you can really like tell the person's way too much.
Costume? These aren't costumes. These are suits. What are you talking about? Costumes.
Were you the mascot or did you just dress up as Petey the Pirate for Halloween one time?
Did you just wear a pirate's outfit and call yourself Petey the Pirate? Or...
Yeah. He had like one eye patch.
Costume. All right. Sorry, Chris. You can continue.
I have no idea what I was talking about. Actually. I can't stop thinking about how good that is for all of our listeners to just watch the Hokey Bird run out of the tunnel, because I don't think most people have ever actually watched the Hokey Bird run out of the tunnel unless you've been a Hokey Bird.
Yeah. has paid no attention to it. But you're
jumping. You are gassed. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
I think
just the parents of the Hokie Bird are watching that.
Yeah, I would say the worst though of all the runs outs was the at Miami. I don't know, Scott. Did you ever do Miami? Like at Miami, you know, typically Miami has been known to be a little bit hotter than Blacksburg in like just weather in general. And so the day that I was, I don't know. It's there's no way to know. I've looked it up. I've Googled it. And so I just remember going down there and running out. Well, first, when you're standing in the tunnel in Miami, all you hear above you are beer bottles. Like literally, like you're standing there. It's kind of crazy. Like, but it's legit. Like, and this was the old Orange Bowl. So this was like 2002. And like, all I heard was just like clink, 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 like above me, just like all these beer bottles just like hitting. And then all of a sudden you just take off and it's like 105 humidity is what it feels like, you know? And so you get to midfield and Ibis is doing like his thing. And I literally thought actually after that, it was funny because I went, so Miami at the time at the Orange Bowl, the stadium didn't actually like connect all the way. There was these bleachers in the outfield or in the end zone. And so I ran out and then I walked, I stumbled over to the bleachers. I took the head off. No one was around. It wasn't like there was no cheerleaders or anything. I just took the head off. I was that hot and just laid under the bleachers. Uh-huh. And there was like people walking by. Like actually picture the north end zone. It was exactly like that. So I was like literally just under there, like with the head off, just laying down. I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
My time like that was there were two times. Like the one when I was really worried about it was I was the bird at the Texas A&M away game in like 2001 or 2002.
I was at that game. That was so hot.
And you know, John, like, you know, the trainers, no one in the athletic department ever spoke to us. You know, there was no reason to speak to us. Although I do, this leads me to believe, I just realized I heard something about Frank Beamer. And it's so true. That was like, you could be a player for him. And he probably knew tops 10 guys' name on the team at any one point.
Max.
And I think Chris could probably back that up.
Chris probably knows that more.
Absolutely, Max. There's no chance he knew your name. Like, you have to really be, you have to be Eddie Royal. He knew Eddie Royal. But outside of that, there's not many people he knew the name of.
So wow, he would just call you like guy or buddy, I think.
Yeah, pal.
Pal. So, wow. So I've always told the story. Like, I tell people all the time about how great a guy Coach Beamer was. And I tell the story about how, like, you know, as birds, we were technically athletes. So we were allowed to work out in the athletes' gym. So one day I'm like walking out of the athletes' gym, out of Jameson to my car in the Castle Coliseum lot. And he and Billy Height are walking into the Merriman Center and they're having a conversation and Beamer stops the conversation to say, hey, how you doing to me, right? And I've always told the story that, like, that's just because that's who he is. He's a nice guy. He'll stop and talk to you. And now I realize he has no idea whether I was a player or not. He just would be rude if he didn't. And, like, maybe I would leave the team.
That's my starting punter. Like, that's my punter. Yeah, and I don't even know. Yeah. I'm not even talking to him.
Yeah. Like, I could if you never saw me do anything athletic, you could mistake me for like a safety or a wide receiver. Like you could look at it and be like, I'm tall. What? Like, you know, and then if you saw me run, you'd be like, no, not that guy.
Is that Camp Chancellor? Oh no, that's just the OG bird.
I will say I don't vouch for that comment. Like, I'm not going to
double extra large warmups. I definitely looked like
you could have been anybody under there. I will say, Scott, on the, what was it, the strength, like the Iron Man challenge, whatever. Remember, like, you were, like, top five in something. Was it power clean? Like, I remember you were, it was up there with, like, the top of that athlete. What was it?
It was power clean. I had the, like, power clean record for cheerleaders.
It just the cheerleaders? I thought it was everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, but that's the thing, right? So the situation is this. As mascots, we get tested. You get grouped into your athlete pods. Like, so if you're lifting, you're comparing yourself. If you're a soccer player, you're comparing yourself to other soccer players. If you're a mascot, you're comparing yourself to other cheerleaders, which sounds like a joke, but the cheerleaders are like besides heavyweight wrestlers and football players, like some of the strongest people on campus. They hold other humans above their heads for an athletic position. So, but the only reason
hours of Bring It On.
The only reason I was on top of that, like had the record, was because for some reason they all decided not to max out that semester or whatever. Like no one showed. So as soon as they saw that a Hokie Bird was on, like that had a record on the board, they all the next semester were like, no, it was not because I lifted so much weight that no one could outlift me. It was just because I simply showed up and did the max day.
I didn't realize that. You could have never told me that, and I would have been like, I think Scott's like a pretty solid athlete.
I mean, it was still like a decent. No, it was.
Yeah, you had a pretty good number up there.
It was still a decent number. So
I will say, I remember our senior year when I was maxing out, and our strength coach was like with us. It was like all the Hokie Birds and him. And
was it Terry Mitchell?
Mm-hmm. No, it was Gabe.
Gabe was our GA, but like, Coach Mitchell was the head guy.
Right. And so he came over and I was like, hey, coach, I was like, we're about to max out. I was like, what's the, and I was this is like a dead serious comment, but I was like, what was the best squat for the female cheerleaders? And he's like, I was to talk about trying to compare. I was literally, cause I had like, I don't know what it was, 155 or something on there. And I'm like, I've got to get on the board. And I was not joking. I just remember the look of like disappointment in his eyes. Like he just kind of like looked at me and he didn't even respond. He didn't even give me anything. He just like walked away. He was like, no, like, no.
This may not be pod worthy, but I think the best story from the gym is, you know, it was, at the time, it was you, me, and Tim working out in there.
Yeah. Tim's talking a lot.
Tim started talking about, he's like, no, I'm telling you, it's a proven fact. The stronger you get, the dumber you are. And we're like, Tim, that's not a proven
fact. But he's dead serious when he's saying it. He's not trying to like be funny or anything. He's like, no,
it's dead serious. And what he was trying to say is that people with mental handicaps don't know they should stop lifting. So they just push through their limits or whatever. Right. Who knows? But I'm not a scientist.
He decides
to
say this at a gym with like really big guys.
He goes up to Coach Terry Mitchell, one of the biggest humans on the planet, whose chest is like the size of a living room sofa.
The biggest chest in the world.
And he goes, coach. Coach is what? Like 6'2", you know, 300 pounds. Straight down over a chest that like, the Himalayans would be jealous of. The Himalayan mountains are like, no, we're not climbing that. And he's looking down at Tim, and Tim up to him and goes, isn't it true, coach, that the bigger you are, the dumber you get?
He said that. I'll vouch for it. He said that like straight up.
Coach Mitchell, nicest, also one of the quietest men, like a doctor. He's a doctor of like, you know, physiology or something, just turns around and walks into his office, says no more words to him. Later, he comes up to me, and you've never heard this guy cuss. He goes to me, y'all talk about some dumb ass. I was like, hey, whoa, not me, coach. I'm trying to live, man. I'm trying to live.
Y'all talk about some dumb shit. Straight it's very up. True.
I can't believe that they actually let the Hokie Birds work out, like in the Olympic weight room.
Dude, we got college letters.
I know that.
But like, I feel like they would have just been like, "There's no reason for you all to be in here."
Dude, I say
we had to run to the 50-yard line.
Yeah, dude. I said this with only
that store.
I said this with only a hint of irony. We might have been the healthiest people on the football field to be able to do that and not die.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
that is true. It's no different than being like, you know, Jalen Holston and running away, or Khalil Herbert and running away from somebody and being afraid they're going to tackle you. Because listen to this. Because if you fall down, they're gonna trample you. You're going to die.
It's happening. True. You would die.
And you are fully aware of this, and you're wearing 25 pounds of fleece through which you cannot breathe, and size 45 shoes. Like, and you if you don't get to the 50-yard line before they do, it's over.
That is true. It's a dead sprint with I mean, now, at our time, we were dead sprint with D'Angelo and K Jones. Like, that's you know, we were dead sprinting with.
Speaking of, and I hope that Whit Babcock is listening to our podcast, because I'm sure he is. But
he is.
This is a great idea for a halftime spring game, for them to put the fastest Virginia Tech player in the Hokie Bird suit and have them race.
Oh, man.
Race a Hokie Bird that's not in the suit. Or it's just like a college student.
It's just like when I was asking you.
Oh, that would be so good.
It's just like when I was asking you guys if Michael Phelps, if a shark could beat Michael Phelps in a foot race. It's the same thing.
It's a good question. We'll never know.
But
Chris's could actually happen, though.
At the University of Florida, they do a race at their spring game with, like, players versus college students. But I think would be awesome to at least, like, put Herbert, like, in the Hokie Bird shoes, you know, make him race a college student.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Except, I mean, we have to probably do this with people we're not worried about getting hurt.
Right. Right. That's true.
Not Herbert.
Well, Herbert, he's just here for 1 year, right? So, it's fine.
Yeah.
He's
a junior. This is his only year.
Wait.
No.
Wait. This year, he's done. This year doesn't
count. Yeah, but this year's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone can come back.
This whole year doesn't count?
This whole year doesn't count. I mean,
I didn't know that.
Unless we win the national championship, in which case this year counts.
True, all right, but
it doesn't. But wait, that leads right into the Herbert for Heisman conversation, really.
Yeah, okay. Second topic, Herbert for Heisman, question mark?
Question?
I mean, before the loss on Saturday, you can't not say it because he was – Vegas put odds on him this past week to win the Heisman.
Really?
Did he still finish with over 100 yards?
Running back in the country.
Wow. Do you think this will allow us to actually recruit a running back now? Or, I mean, no. Like all these guys that keep going to Penn State. Okay, I guess not.
Whatever, to be real about it, whatever it is when it comes to recruiting – we don't currently have it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It just
like winning.
I don't, dude. Is it winning? Doesn't even matter if it's winning. Yeah,
I don't know. Because we had a good couple years and we didn't get anybody. I think, like, I don't know. I feel like Fuente, without saying it, has shifted his mindset to say, I don't really care about the high school guys. Like, I'm going to go all out and get the best, like, grad transfers. Like, I mean, look at our team this year. It's crazy. Honestly, the first couple of games, I'm just going like, okay, all these guys, Justice Reed, like Burmeister, like running backs, like everybody, no one started here. And yet we look pretty good. So I don't know. I think it's a change in strategy on his part is what I think. I'm not sure.
Sure. I mean, Herbert's for real. I think he still finished the UNC game with over 100 yards, right?
Yeah,
128. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean – and that he got one. How many carries did he get in the first half? Six. So I mean,
yeah,
he did 128.
He's still averaging. I think he still averaged eight a carry for the UNC game.
It's just crazy how you know how corny he'll just go away from stuff. You know, I know he knows more than me, and I'm not trying to like play, you know, armchair quarterback or anything. But it's like, this seems to work, and we wanted to keep UNC's team offense off the field, you know? So running the ball feels right, you know?
Especially, also, like, right before the half. I'm like, seriously, that series right before the half was so frustrating. I'm like, I didn't care like that. But at that point, I'm like, hey, guys, like, just run the clock down. Like, just don't snap it, and then maybe run the ball. Like, and no. We snap it quick. We throw three passes. They get the ball, and then – do a 60-yard bomb and score, and I'm like, all right, that's why we're gonna lose.
And this is no judgment. I mean, we had no secondary at all, like a safety, like, and
that's why you got to coach it up different. Yeah,
but I mean, the tackle, like people are whining about the tackling. Like, these are people who should never have been in a position to have to make that tackle in the first place. They shouldn't have even been on the field, you know. Right. So it's like, they can't tackle. It would be not unlike if they put one of us in on the field right now. It would just be like, you know, and we happen to be in position, and then people would be like, oh, you missed a tackle. Like, we should be talking about how amazing it is that Matheny was even in position to miss those tackles. Like, that was impressive. That was really impressive.
Yeah. Did you look him up at all? Like, did you look his stats up?
No, like, you should be impressed. I even know his name.
He wasn't even good in high school. Like, he went to, I think, like Lake Braddock or something, and was like second team all district or something crazy. Like, seriously, no, like
Braddock.
He only got offers to go wrestle in college. Like, he was a like amazing wrestler. Like, won state in wrestling.
Lake Braddock was huge high school. Huge, right.
but he still didn't. Like, it doesn't matter how big. You still don't need to, like, be the star.
I think what I'm saying is, like, second team all district is in like that division, which is where I went to high school.
Are you defending?
No. I'm just saying, like, you're judging him based on, like,
he's like, he is actually pretty.
You know what? Fine. I'll be the one dude on here sticking up for my Hokies.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. No, our DBs were so depleted. I don't know if y'all saw that Fuente said that at halftime it felt like he was coaching eighth grade football. That's his quote. He said he felt that way because they went in at halftime and they started thinking about guys that play offense that could actually play on defense in the second half.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said during the week they had run Blackshear at like some safety positions to see if they could put him in, and they actually thought about doing it in the second half. Wow, like, that's how depleted crazy. We are at DB.
Yeah.
That's now, crazy.
All of that is probably true, and UNC's still better than us.
Right.
Yeah.
But we put up 45 points on that UNC.
I know.
Fifth-ranked team in the country.
I don't know if UNC is that good. I don't know. I guess
I agree.
I'm just, like, I think when they play Notre Dame and Clemson, it's going to be a blowout. Like, I think those games are going to be like that Miami game that we saw on Saturday, you know, where it's just – it's very obvious that they're just not that great. But
don't mistake what I'm saying. I'm not saying that UNC is a great team. What I'm saying is they're better than us by whatever we would have lost by if we didn't successfully get an onside kick.
Yeah. Yeah. They're talented for sure. I mean, we like wanted all those guys on that team. It's funny because you think you're like, well, you know, we missed that recruit, but it's no big deal. But like half their guys, I mean, all their names, I was like, oh yeah, yeah. We like that DB. I can't remember his name. He was a 5-star guy and he was down to us and them, and he would have helped on Saturday. We could have used him. So
if we had a 5-star on the field, yes, that would have helped.
Right.
5-star.
I want to ask this question. So, like, now that I know the rules around us this year not mattering, that's an interesting topic that just got brought up. Does that who does that help more? In my opinion, that really helps us, like our schools like us, where, you know, we're basically trying to be more of a long-term, like, building, you know, kind of farmhouse type thing than just like a one and done program, you know. And so, like, the Clemsons, the LSU Bamas of the world, like, that may not help them as much because now we're going to have, like, these guys that are fifth year. Like, Justice Reed, dude, that guy's already, like, 47 years old. Give him another year. He's going to be massive. And so, like, that compared to a 5-star, you know, safety at Clemson next year is pretty close. Like, you know, I don't know. That might actually put us and put some schools like us in contention. So it's kind of an interesting comment.
I think it helps talk
amongst yourselves.
Yeah. The Spanish Inquisition was neither Spanish nor an Inquisition. I think how it potentially helps is that if they keep the scholarship limit for next year at 85, there's going to be a bunch of dudes on teams like Clemson that should be playing, that want to be playing right away. You know, Clemson notwithstanding, because Clemson is somehow keeps everybody no matter whether they're, you know, behind Trevor Lawrence or not. But like, but those dudes will like look to transfer somewhere, look to be like, no, I'm not going to wait 2 more years to play. I want to play now. I'm good enough to play now. And so like a school like UNC who's built some depth at a certain position might like not be able to hang on to a couple of kids, you know, whether it's the older kids or like the younger kids, like that schools like Virginia Tech kind of in that mid tier might actually get. So
yeah, that's true. That's very true. Chris, what do you think? Does it help us or hurt us? Or like, is it just kind of a net neutral?
I think it's an unknown right now because it's so new, this whole transfer thing. I mean, no one really knows what the future looks like with it. Like, does it hurt our actual recruiting? You know, like does it hurt our depth tremendously?
Well, we can't get hurt anymore in recruiting, right?
It's true. Yeah.
Dude,
where do we have to go in recruiting?
I mean, the thing is with the transfer portal, you can't recruit. I mean, the guys have to reach out to you. So it creates a weird, you know, sort of concept there. I mean, yeah, you can't, like, Herbert says he's not going to, you know, finish out the season last year at Kansas. We can't reach out to him until he reaches out to us saying that his recruiting is open. So it's sort of they can only reach out to guys that are in junior colleges. So you can't reach out to guys that are like at Kansas.
But can a former Hokie Bird who just so happened to marry a girl from Kansas who just so happens to be on campus say that we don't have any running backs, you should call our coach?
You slip a Virginia Tech program into his pocket.
Just slide it under there.
The answer is yes.
You can do that. You can, you can slip the running back depth chart into his pocket, and then he'll be like, is Keyshawn King 189 pounds? And you'd be like, yes.
Yeah. And Holston doesn't have right or left knees. I would say I also think that you could be known for kind of the school that transfers go to, which would be a really good thing. You know, that's another way to do it, right? So you could kind of build yourself as the school that people look to regardless. So then they are contacting you, which maybe is what Fuente's doing. I'm not sure. So it's just like, hey, open playbook is look what all these guys are doing for us, you know, as transfers. So,
I think whatever happens, the ACC needs another good team. You can't continue to just be Clemson for Clemson's sake. It's like,
but still, like, but how do you compete with that? I mean, honestly, like, you saw that game on set. Like, I just watched like a couple drives, but I mean, you just look on the field and you're like, their talent level is so superior than anybody in the country. I mean, even watching like Georgia and some of those schools, like Clemson would just dominate them. So it just feels like that's almost a different level. We need a lot of number twos, you know, I think, to really step up. And like a UNC and Miami and stuff, I think they're potential this year. I just don't want, if those schools end up losing 3-4 games, that's where we get depleted, you know. So.
My mind on Miami is they are garbage until they prove otherwise. Until they prove otherwise. Because, like, they get so hyped every year, like, oh, they're going to, like, no, that no one thought they were going to, no one who, like, knows anything about it thought they were actually going to walk in there and beat Clemson. And, you know, except maybe Miami players. And, you know what I noticed about the game is, like, how lazy the commentating was. Like,
really?
Kirk Herbstreit is just like, this guy's a 5-star. They were talking about 5-star recruits. Like, don't tell me what his star rating was. Like, talk to me about like how good he is or like whatever. Right. Like, I really don't care, you know. And Dabo Swinney doesn't care if he's a 5-star. Like, he got a 5th star because he was recruited by Clemson. You know, he didn't. You know.
Oh, like, right. Yeah.
And they're like, this guy's a 5-star, and it's like, that doesn't mean anything. It's like a Yelp review. Like, can he, you know, can he
talk about his talent? Somebody? Yeah.
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 And I feel that way about our recruiting too. You can't tell me that 90% of schools wouldn't start Khalil Herbert over their current running back.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Who else, like, who on our team would start for Clemson? Start.
Oscar, do we have somebody? Bradburn.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I mean, Brian Johnson hit a 55-yard field goal. He might start.
Yeah, Brian, I think Johnson's our kicker would good. Start.
Mm-hmm. I bet Darius Shaw would start, maybe, huh?
There might be an offensive lineman that would start.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe.
Darius Shaw's pretty nasty. Like, that boy pushes people around. Justice Reed, give him a couple more years.
Nope.
At least 30.
No.
What? Who's that new defensive end that came in? And all of a sudden, I was like, "Who's that guy?" He looks like he's 6'8". Like, he's Langley, but he's
Barno.
Yeah,
Barno. Yeah. Oh man, that guy. I'm excited about him. He just needs to go to the weight room a couple times. But,
you know what's funny? Speaking of lazy, I was like, 3 minutes ago was complaining about Cornelson. We scored how many points against UNC?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait. One of the topics Chris wanted to talk about was Jayham, I think.
There were two topics. One is our offense amazing or awesome? Discuss. And B, should we fire Justin Hamilton this week or next week?
You're not. Yeah. I love how you don't lead in questions. That's why you're so good at
asking them. You pick either one of those you want to talk about.
Okay. I want to do the Jay Hampton first because I do think that it's been tough, man. I mean, to not have been there to coach for 2 weeks and then come back and not have a defense, like not have a defensive backfield, literally. I think he's been it's really hard to tell what's going on right now on the defense. So I think it's, you know, give him time. You got to give him a couple years to figure it out. But it does feel like, I don't know, it does feel like a different defense for some reason. I don't know why. Like we're maybe not. Maybe it's just UNC, but just, we didn't seem as aggressive as I would have expected. Like as you know, Bud would have probably lined up guys and blitzed a lot more and some of that kind of stuff, you know. I guess that's what I would say. But I want to give him time.
I think that UNC came in with an amazing offensive game plan. I mean, that's why they went up 21-0, because they watched our first two games and they're like, okay, we can't do a 5-step drop, so we're not gonna not gonna give them a chance to get any rush on us whatsoever. So we're just gonna throw the ball quick. Slants, outs, let's go quick, and they're not going to stand a chance against us, and let's run the ball. And, they did exactly what they needed to do against our defense. Like, our defense can't handle that. So, like, this week, if, you know, BC goes back to dropping back like NC State did, I think we'll look a ton better, even though it's just what the offense is, you know, doing for our defense.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I think there's two things, right? It's the hope that kills you, right? So it's like you watch us – crush NC State and, you know, beat Duke pretty easily. And then you're like, oh man, we're going to beat UNC and we're going to march down to Clemson and it's going to be a matchup at the, you know, and it's like, oh, wait, right. A real team beat us pretty, like looked at the film and was like, yeah, that's not that hard to beat. We got this.
But we also have like so many D backs out. I mean, Herbstreit, I don't know if you guys saw it, but he was like, they threw out the Clemson schedule and they're like, all right, of all these teams, including Notre Dame, like which one is going to trip them up? And he was like, by far Virginia Tech. He's like, once they get their guys back, he's like, that team is hard. That's going to be a tough team to beat right there. So I still think the verdict's out. I mean, we got a couple more months. We got to get a full team and Herbert could like change a game, because when you have a running game, it slows everything down, you know, and that's where you kind of stay with those really big teams. But Miami was supposed to have a running game too.
Yeah. Dude, Hooker's the key. He's actually a good quarterback, and you know why he doesn't, you know, automatically start. And I understand maybe he missed a bunch of playing time, or a bunch of practice time, but
he better not play Burmeister at all, like against BC. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. His QB rating is like a 39, you know, every game. He's just, yeah. You know, he's a great backup, but that's it. So.
Yeah. The other thing I want to say about coaching is, so yes, our defense got annihilated by UNC. We were missing a lot of players and they're really good, but our defensive coaches got the team ready for two games where we were still missing a bunch of players and we were missing the primary play caller in both cases and came out and looked great. And so like, that's coaching. Like that's all like, you know, preparation. It's all like, once you get to the game, it's, you know, if you didn't prepare for it, it's over, you know, you can't adjust to it in the game. There's no time. So it's like, they did a really amazing job.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And we would have killed Virginia if we had played them in week one. And
we will, man. I think we will. Like just watching, you know, them, we're definitely heads and shoulders. What was your first question about our offense? Something about, is our offense amazing or just?
Or is it awesome?
Or is it awesome? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no way to go. I mean, I think between our offense and defense, obviously our offense has kind of shined so far. There's not a piece of our offense that I don't like, to be honest with you. Like, I'll be honest, like, you get Hooker back there. I mean, there's a lot to like. I would say the only thing we might be missing is a really tall wide out, you know, that could kind of, I mean, Trey, I can get open, but we don't really have, man, we could really, really use, who's the guy at Missouri now? Why am I blanking on his name?
Damon Hazelton.
Gosh, we could use him. He's like the only piece.
I don't think so.
Really?
No, he never blocked one defensive back. He, he actively tried not to block defensive backs. If you look at our receivers this year, they actually all block in the running game. It's part of the reason the running game is working so well downfield.
All right. Wow.
That's, and he
that's
he
could a really good comment, Scott.
Yeah, that's did that sound smart, Chris? Did that sound smart?
It was awesome. I mean, probably the smartest comment you've ever made on our podcast.
I feel like you're like Will Ferrell in Old School when he like did the debate and he's like,
"We'll just snap back out of it." What happened?
I'm sorry. What did I say? That's good, Chris. What do you think? Our offense? Yes or no? You taking it or leaving it?
I'm taking it. I love it. I think the only thing I don't like is our wide receivers still can't get separation. Like we have no wide receiver that's like knows how to read DBs and get separation whatsoever. Like our quarterbacks are still having to throw just straight at, you know, if a DB is on them, they got to throw it. So it's like, all right. So wide receivers are just having to make plays just like back in Isaiah Ford days. It's like, he's a great basketball player and that's what he would do with every ball that was thrown to him is just be an awesome basketball player and make a play. Our receivers are still having to do that. So I think for me watching our offense, it's like, I would rather sometimes to just be able for a quarterback to drop back our wide receivers, read DBs and know how to beat a DB instead of us having to like program Cornelison 3 drives from now. Oh, we're going to run the tight end up the seam because you know, we're running so much play action or running our running back so much that we can do this now. Okay. Now we can call it. And if it doesn't work out, it's like, there went that third down call that I'd saved for, you know, 3 possessions ago. Now it's out the window. And that's the only way our wide receivers can get open. So for me, that's the only like frustrating part of our offense, but I do love watching our offense.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that. What receivers in the past? I mean, I guess literally the only one I can think of is Eddie Royal that like knew how to separate. Like who else in our past? Because I feel like all of them have always kind of been that. Like even Hyman and I mean Morgan, I guess could separate a little bit, and maybe Andre Davis. But any others that like recently in the last 10 years that could really do that?
Andre Davis separated by just running directly past you.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I'm faster than you. How about that? Yes. I'm just gonna go this way. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's a lot of the way the offense is set up too. I mean that's how the offense is set up because it's not like a usual like air raid offense is set up for wide receivers just to read DBs, and that's why it looks like they're always open. It's because they don't actually have like a route called almost. They're just going with what the DB is doing. Instead of us, we have like routes actually called, so the wide receivers are running those routes.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, what I think is funny about all this, if you go – I don't know if you guys have been on a message board, a tech message board since after the UNC loss, but it went immediately, like right away to people complaining that this is what it must be like to be a Big 12 fan.
Oklahoma.
All offense, defense. Like, are you guys for real, like, whining about this now? Like, you would rather – have the 6-3 Wake Forest loss instead of this, like just
right.
come on.
Yeah. I will say that's the cool thing about it on Saturday. Like even when we were down 21-0, even when we were down, I don't know, what was it? 37, like whatever it was, 20 or something. Like you're kind of like, I don't know, like we can score pretty quick.
That's true.
It's kind of like crazy, but I'm like
now, we can actually do this. With an offense, you actually get to have that feeling of like, we can actually come back. You know, like that's pretty fun.
It's like when we beat NC State when they had Russell Wilson and we came back from like 17 down, that was like a huge Virginia Tech comeback.
Right.
Like huge, enormous, unheard of. And now it's like 17 down, like, that's 3 scores. We can –
I still think isn't the biggest Arkansas I think was the biggest one that we came back, right? I think we were like 23 or what was it?
Yeah.
Which, you know, so on Saturday I was
kind of saying I have like, no idea what the number was. None.
Was it 23, Chris?
No idea.
I think that was it. 23 it was in the 20.
I remember that we played Arkansas in a bowl game. I do remember that.
And that we won. Yeah. That game was crazy. But I think that 23 for some reason like kind of rings in my ear, like 4 possessions, like when you get down 4 possessions, there's just like the odds are like 98-99% you're just not going to win. But so you stay in that 2-3 possession in game and it's like you get one, and then you kind of surprise them on another one, all of a sudden it's a ball game. So
that's what drove me nuts about the Clemson Miami coverage too, was yes, Clemson was killing them, like statistically killing them, but they were only up 14-0 for like large stretches of the first half,
right,
and 7-0 for large stretches. And like Herb Street and Fowler were both like, this is over. And it's like, no, it's not over. Like, yes, Clemson is dominating, but they're only up 2 scores. Like, stuff can go wrong.
Yeah, and then Miami got that block kick, and it was like, whoa, this is like a one-possession game.
This is a game. It did feel like it was still over even when it was a one-possession game, but it wasn't actually. Like, anything could have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And Clemson's still way better than all the other teams in the ACC.
I will say, like, when we lose to UNC, our team's mindset, obviously, national championship's out the window. And is ACC championship still in, like, the minds of our team? Or, like, what's the goal now?
Yeah, because you could still – you win out right now, and you go to the ACC championship. Actually, you probably could lose another game if you beat Clemson. Like, so we could lose to probably – Miami and still beat Clemson and go to the ACC championship, I would assume. I don't know.
I think we
can't have two losses.
Yeah, it's top two schools regardless.
Yeah, but we can't have two losses. There's no way.
It's got to be.
But I bet you think that all right, Clemson will be undefeated. Do you think that there will be another school that only has one loss? I just think this year is going to be – really?
Yeah, you've got all Notre UNC Dame. Has, I guess that's true. All UNC only has to play Miami and Notre Dame left. That's it.
They play Clemson, don't they?
No, not in the regular season.
Oh, what? How'd they get off with that? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm learning all kinds of stuff. This is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd have to win out, including wins over Clemson, and probably have UNC beat Clemson. And so then
they don't
it would be
play
like, right. So that, right. That won't happen. Should we have talked about that? Did we talk about that before already?
We just said it. Like, just said
I just wanted to balance out the highs of my Damon Hazelton comments with the lows.
It could not have been sooner that you just said that. Like, literally, that was Chris's comment right before that. And you're like,
yeah,
well,
I wasn't thinking about that. I try not to listen to you guys. I try to just do the math in my own head.
But the only team Clemson has left to play is Notre Dame and us, if you count us in that category. But that's it.
They play Miami. Miami's good.
Clemson
just played
Miami.
I mean, they've already won that game, but yeah.
Miami could beat them, though. Like, I think that's my key. It's like,
not this year.
And Notre Dame could beat them. You don't think they could beat UNC?
I thought we were talking about Clemson.
Oh, I thought you were talking about UNC, Chris.
We were talking about Clemson.
Oh, Clemson, yeah. Here's my point. Notre Dame. That's it.
For Virginia Tech to go to the ACC championship, we're going to have to win out. And you need help. Like, you need UNC's got to lose.
Yeah.
And that's why I was saying, yes, unfortunately, UNC's not playing Clemson. But what you would need then is, like, that would be a scenario where it could work if they were playing. Like, they would beat Clemson. Clemson would have two losses. We'd have one, UNC would have none, and like those two teams would go to the ACC championship. We'd rematch with, but that won't happen because, as you guys annoyingly pointed out, we don't like UNC doesn't play
Notre Dame. So Notre Dame is the only school then that plays like all the tough teams. They play everybody but us, I guess.
They play FSU, UNC, and Clemson,
and Miami, don't they?
I don't think Notre Dame plays Miami.
Okay.
How bad is like the rest of the like Pitt, Louisville, BC?
Louisville's bad. Louisville's so much worse than people think they are. Like, they're so bad.
Oh yeah.
Wake is bad. There's some really bad teams. Georgia Tech beat Syracuse.
Syracuse is like 1-3.
To Duke.
Yeah. Yeah. Syracuse is like 1-3 or something.
But at the Carrier Dome, that place is so, like, terrible to play in. I mean,
Syracuse was 2.5-point underdogs to Duke, an 0-4 Duke team at home this weekend.
That's a line.
You're thinking of the Carrier Dome in non-COVID times. Like, the Carrier Dome is not a place that you would worry about playing right now.
No. It's actually – so I think – it's so bad that it's worse. So I think it's bad in non-carrier dome times because it's quiet and it's like it echoes in there and it's like it's just weird to play in that environment. And then now you take out all the people and it's got to be even crazier. Like I bet it's just the worst, you know. So the worst.
All right, hey.
So do y'all think UNC loses to Florida State this weekend?
They play them?
Let me see if I'm following your thinking. You're thinking that they come off a letdown after annihilating Virginia Tech, that they're like, oh, we prepared the entire season, the entire offseason for that Virginia Tech game. And now which may be true because of the double over, or the could six be true. Overtime loss.
Yeah.
But that's what you're thinking? It's a letdown game?
I'm thinking we're on a high and we're the fifth ranked team in the country and no one can beat us, even though we just now put up 50 on a completely depleted defense, even though they're not going to act like they did. And then they're going to go play a Florida State team that finally found a quarterback last week who rushed for over 100 yards and no one has a clue how to stop him, but no one's talking about it. And they actually have Tamorian Terry back, who is like one of my favorite receivers to watch, who dropped 180 against Notre Dame and 2 touchdowns last weekend. And no one's going to think about this because he's been hurt for 3 games and they didn't have him when Florida State was horrible the first 3 games.
Does Florida State have a defense?
Yes. Oh, they have one of the top like analytical defenses. Pro Football Focus rates their defensive line and DBs like number one in the ACC right now.
Really?
What's their record though?
They're like 1-4, right?
No.
1-3? I think they're 1-3.
1-3, yeah.
I don't know. No. Is it at
1-4? So that's
is
ridiculous.
Is it at Florida State or is it at UNC?
It's at Florida State. But I'm saying in those that three actually, losses.
That matters.
All their losses outside of Notre Dame. So all the losses before. They didn't have Terry and they didn't have Jordan, the new quarterback. They have literally found a quarterback, which they haven't had. They haven't had a quarterback. So
Blackman is so bad. That guy, I literally – so I've been betting against Florida State for the past 2 years. You guys didn't know this. Like in the pick-ems thing, every week against the spread, against because of him. Like literally, I'm like, he's the worst in the world.
I am tied for first in the pick-ems league, having won no weeks. And having honestly no idea by Saturday which games I've picked and never looking
that
again.
That matters this year because no one knows this year. This year is so odd. Like, it's crazy. Yeah, I actually, the first week I had all my picks and I literally went back and just flipped all of them and went like, I think I went 500. that was a good comment.
Did you actually do that?
Yes, I did.
Oh my god. I did.
And until it came out, until I said it, I was like, yeah, that was a good move. Oh man.
With 500.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, it's so good. That's so dumb. Oh. That's so good.
Flipped all my picks and went 500. Yeah.
So speaking of picks, so now that I talked you all into taking Florida State this week, are you going to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I might. That actually is a really good – so, you know, one of my big things is after a big loss or after a big win, like how these college kids actually respond. And
yeah,
I think that was a pretty big win for them on Saturday, I think, against us. I think they were kind of like – they're thinking like, yeah, we're back. Like, we're good. So, yeah, that could be a surprise game. That's a good point.
I've already made my picks. I don't know what I picked, and I'm not going to go back and take Florida State now. I'm going to look just to tell you whether I did or not.
What's the spread, Chris?
I believe it's 10.5.
What? Really? I was thinking when you said it, I bet it was like 5 or 6 or something. So that's crazy.
It's 12.5, and I picked UNC. I don't know anything about these teams. I had no idea that FSU.
Hey, if UNC comes out and wins by 50, don't blame it on me.
I had no idea that FSU didn't have a quarterback, but now found a quarterback. Could not, if you told me the name that you just told me about a receiver, I wouldn't know anything about it. And something about a Pro Football Focus's defense, I don't know what that even means. This is college football. I don't understand what you're talking about. So I just go through and pick which helmet I like better, pretty much. Yeah. And
which they're all computer generated anyway, so it's just colors.
Yeah, but the Florida State helmet's a little racist. You know,
it's
so
true.
Yeah,
where do you think the hotter? Do you think the undergrad body at Florida State or UNC is more attractive?
What are you into? Are you into marrying girls or making out with girls? Because
I was going to say, like, I think Florida State probably would be that, but I don't know.
Just depends, man. I feel like UNC's got a bunch of marrying girls, and Florida State's got a bunch of
football players think about.
The intelligence level at UNC has got to be higher, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of the best in the in the world.
Agreed. Agreed. No, I don't know if I'm not agreeing to it's one of the best in the world. There's like the entire Ivy League, Oxford, Cambridge. There's a lot of better schools.
No. Tech. But like, all right. So in this. So we're talking of undergrad attractiveness of the student body. I would guess in that top 25, they're probably up there because of the schools you just named are not up there. Right.
I'm going
UNC is still a good school.
I'm going USC, Southern California, obviously, not South Carolina.
Is USC a good school? I guess like a top 25.
Oh, I thought we were talking about hot co-eds. I didn't realize we were talking about.
I don't know. I guess you're right. Yeah, USC, UCLA, those schools.
Mm-hmm. Syracuse is a 3.5-point underdog to Liberty this week.
Yeah, dude, I did. Well, I wouldn't touch that game with a 10-foot pole. I had no
at idea. Home, John. It's in the Carrier Dome.
I'm putting money on that, man. Liberty is gonna, or I think Syracuse is gonna smoke them. I think that's gonna be their coming out party right there.
No. Reevaluate your life. You cannot put money on Liberty versus Syracuse, no matter how tasty the spread is. You just cannot.
That's when you have a problem.
John, you have children. I
like my lock of the week. Syracuse way over covering that spread. You guys can put
Syracuse
it in the book.
Right, you're getting 3.5 points.
Wait, they're plus 3.5?
Yes.
Oh man, that's even better. I was thinking it was the other way. I just got 6 points. Like that's just like a flip on my side right there. Oh man.
Yeah, they're underdogs to Liberty at home.
Full disclaimer, if you consider
that makes me nervous for our Liberty game.
If you are at home considering betting with John King, just keep in mind 2 minutes ago he told you he flipped every one of his picks and still went 500. So you could be just as successful with the flip of a coin. Maybe more successful.
Stay with me. It's hard.
All right, so importantly, BC, Virginia Tech coming up. Chris, what is going to happen?
I say we win. I don't think it will be easy. But I think we put up more points on BC than UNC did. Which sort of says a little something that I think UNC will get a loss at some point this year. But, say the Hokies come out with a win at 39-13. Big win.
All right. I'll take it. John, what do you got?
Okay. All right. I'm thinking this will be interesting. I think I've watched a little bit of BC the week before last. I think their offensive line's always good. And if we have our defense back, I think it's going to be close like always. Like it's like a, 21-14 game type thing up there. So, I would say it'll probably be like a 28-17, but I think the Hokies come out and play. The only thing I would say, BC is the other school. Like BC, Pittsburgh and Syracuse have always have home field advantages against the Hokies, and the fact that like no one's there, it's quiet, like it's just kind of a weird place to play. So that might be, you know, them coming off like a bad loss and then having to like fly up there. I don't know. Could be tough. But honestly, if the I'm really going around in circles here, but if the
this is just how your betting process works.
Exactly. This is how my mind thinks in the betting. But like the key is like if we get Diablo and a couple of those guys back on D, I think that's going to spark the whole team, because I think the whole team is going to be like, yes, like we finally got this. You know, we got Hooker back, we got these guys, and so I think that'll be like fun for them to finally be playing together again. So they may come out and go crazy and win by a lot more. But I do think we win, but I don't know about how much. Final say.
I have no idea. No idea, but I did pick Virginia Tech to cover whatever the spread is, because I'm doing this thing this year where I'm just like, I'm riding with the Hokies. You know, who cares?
Yeah.
I used to just avoid the picking the Tech game, because I just didn't want to, like, you know, I'm too connected to it. And now I'm just like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to do the hedge thing that John does where he picks against us or picks UVA. Like, mm-hmm. No. I'm just picking the Hokies. I'm all in.
I just do that against UVA.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
But then you win either way. It's great.
No, you don't.
They lose, you win. They win, you win. It's good.
No. Oh, man. All right. I think that's it. I think that's Bird Brains. Oh, but I have to be able to say it. That's it. That's Bird Brains for this week. And if you complain that you didn't get enough Bird Brains, shut up. We've already given you three this year. Three. That's more than we've given you in any other season in history.
I got a text, Vox, from one of our listeners today that said, wow, I didn't know you all had posted more Bird Brains podcasts. I'm like, of course we have.
You got to keep your eyes out. You got to always be ready. You never know when the next one's coming.
You never know.
That's right. Yep. So it's coming.